All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Nancy Ann Oliver, Chair of the Board of Accountancy, and we are done with executive session, so I'm calling back to order the public session of the Board of Accountancy. Today is Thursday, June 23rd, 2022. It is now 12:16. This meeting is being held via Zoom video and in person. Please be sure to mute your mic through Zoom or mute your phone if participating by phone. If you wish to speak, please unmute. Please do not use the chat room for any discussion. Should any technical issues arise, the meeting will be paused until it is resolved. I will now take roll call. Again, Nancy Ann Oliver, Board Chair.
Stuart Morris, Board Member.
Joel Parks, Board Staff.
Mark Piccioli, Executive Director.
Angie
Root, Board Legal Counsel.
Wrong.
Romeo Olivia, Board Member.
Tanya.
Tanya Moffitt, Chair.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Leppard, Board Staff.
Joe.
Joe Sullivan, Board Vice Chair.
Sherry.
Sherry McPherson, Oregon Society CPA CEO.
John.
John Hawkins, Vice Chair, Oregon Society CPAs.
Amanda
Phillips, OAIA President.
Kate White. Ann Lang.
Ann Lang.
Okay, and there is an iPhone. Please identify yourself. Do you have a phone number on the iPhone? Okay, it looks like they've dropped off. Here we go. So, who's on the iPhone, please? Do we have a phone number associated with the iPhone?
I can't tell.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Okay, so.
And actually, we do have one more person in the waiting room.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, looks like there's a phone number 503-715-7761. Please identify yourself for the record.
This is Brian Adams. I'm here on behalf of Laura Caldera, who's representing our client, Mr. Bugle, this morning.
Oh, great. Thank you.
It would be me who wanted to disconnect the iPhone.
The one that's unidentified, disconnected. Okay. Did I miss anybody in our roll call? Great.
Okay. We get an answer from two of the people that were. We didn't get an answer from two of the people.
Kate White, you please unmute and identify yourself. Okay, so let the record show that Kate White is, I guess, just listening in. Okay, back to our agenda. We are on item 8, motions on cases held in executive session.
Nancy, first we need to make a statement from.
Yes, thank you. Okay. So a couple, just to get us started here before we go into motions, my name is Nancy Young Oliver. I have an actual financial conflict, but that because there is an issue with quorum pursuant to ORS 244.120.2, I will vote on matters but not participate in any deliberations.
Which inquiry number is that?
Mm-hmm. That is on, hold on, give me just a second here.
It's a 2022 inquiry 004?
Yes.
All right, this is Stuart Morris. I wish to announce I have an actual financial conflict, which will come before this organization, but I will not participate in the discussion. I will participate in the vote to meet the quorum under ORS 244.120.2.
And that was for inquiry number
2205.
Okay. And just to be clear, you're saying that you did not participate in any discussions on this matter?
Correct.
But you are going to vote?
Okay. Yes.
Great.
Okay. So motions on cases heard in executive session, item A, consent agenda recommended to close reporting require inquiries. Is there a motion?
I will make a motion. Just give me 1 second here. I was getting, you know, I would have everything in a different order.
Okay.
Okay, for reporting inquiries, I'll make a motion to close inquiries on further action with respect to inquiries 2017 report -016 and 2021-RPT-009.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of closing 2017 report 016 and 2021 report 009, state aye.
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 Okay.
Yes, we should say any opposed.
Yeah, any opposed? Motion has carried. Okay. The next item is recommendations to close inquiries.
I'm going to start with inquiry 2022-INQ-004, and I will make a motion to close the inquiry for further action.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Raul has seconded. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of closing 2022 inquiry 004, state aye.
Sorry, this is before the vote is taken. Can you state that you are going to participate in this vote, but that you have financial interest?
Yep, so again, because there is an actual financial conflict, but because there is an issue with quorum pursuant to ORS 244.120.2, I will vote on the matter, but have not participated in any deliberations.
Okay, so any call for a motion?
Okay, so we've had a motion. Do we need to do the motion again, Andrew?
No, now this way you can say all in favor.
Okay, all in favor of closing inquiry 004, state aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion has carried.
Okay, I'll make a motion with respect to inquiry 2022-INQ-005 to close the inquiry.
Raul, did you?
And then the chain needs to make a payment.
Yeah, hold, so Raul, did you second?
Okay. Stuart, I'm Stuart Morris. I have actual financial conflict on this issue. I will not be participating in the discussion, but I will be part of the quorum under ORS 244.120.2 and will vote on this matter.
Any further discussion? Those in favor of closing inquiry 2022-005, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
Okay, for the remainder of the inquiries, I'll make a combined motion with respect to inquiry 2021-INQ-044. 2021-INQ-046, 2021-INQ-049, 2021-INQ-051, and 2022-INQ-003 will make a motion to close the inquiries mentioned.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Those in favor of closing inquiries, those from 2021, number 44, 46, 49, 51, and 2022, case 003, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried. Okay, for cases heard in executive session.
Okay, so cases heard in executive session, I'll start back on page one with case 21-010. I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010, sub 1, sub B, due professional care, and or OAR 801-030-0010, sub 2, auditing standards, for a violation.
Right. I'll second it.
Okay, motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Okay, for a vote of sufficient evidence, in case 21-010, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
All right. In agency case 21-026, I will make a motion to find insufficient evidence under ORS 673-320 sub 3, use of terms CPA and or OAR 801-010-0080 sub 2 sub E, holders of certificates or licenses in other states.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion and second. Is there any further discussion? Those in favor of insufficient evidence in case number 21-026, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
Moving to page two, agency case 21-025, I will make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0005, sub 2, integrity and objectivity for not obtaining a conflict of interest waiver from clients after becoming aware of divorce proceedings.
I'll second it.
Okay. Is there a further discussion in this matter? For those in favor of insufficient evidence in case number 21-025, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried. Just a pause real quick. Did you
want to? Yes, since the Raul, I'm not sure that I heard your vote on the prior case because I think you were still on mute, but can be recorded in the record as aye on the prior case and not this motion, but the one immediately prior.
The one prior was for insufficient.
Was for insufficient evidence. On 21-010.
010.
It was 21 dash, no. The first one was 21-010.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you're talking about?
Yeah, and I couldn't hear is because you were on mute role, and I just want to make sure we can, you know, it wasn't a part of the auditory minutes record, but I just want to make sure that you were also, that your vote was in favor of the motion.
Right, okay. Regarding case 21-010, I did vote aye in favor of the motion.
Great, thank you all.
Okay, moving on, agency case 22-001, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-010-0130 sub 1, last licenses for practicing at an Oregon firm with the last Oregon CPA license.
I'll second it.
Is there further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence in case 22-001, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, motion is carried. Martin, just as a note, I know Joe is raising his hand indicating aye. Do you need it to be a verbal, or is the hand raise sufficient?
Actually, that's more of a question for Angie. I just want to make sure that there is clarity.
It should be verbal, but, you know, ones are not saying, that's where you can follow up and, you know, is, you know, anyone in favor, anyone opposed, that way we know for sure that you're getting the vote, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm actually saying aye as well. I just know that on Zoom, when people speak over each other, you might not hear it.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, I'll continue moving. Agency case 22-002. I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0020, sub 5, acting through others for allowing a lapsed licensee to provide services in the name of the firm.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence in case 22-002, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
Okay. Agency case 22-003, I will make a motion to find insufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0010, sub 2, auditing standards for audit efficiencies identified in a PCAOB inspection.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of insufficient evidence in this portion of it under OAR 801-030-0010, paren 2, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
Also, in case 22-003, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-030-0020, sub 8, sub B, Board Communications and Investigation for not timely providing updates on pending regulatory action as requested.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence in case 22-003 in relation to OAR 801-030-0020, paren 8, paren B, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
In agency case 22-004, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under ORS 673.320, sub 1, sub A, requirement for providing attestation of services or performing attestation services with a terminated firm registration.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence in case number 22-004, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
Agency case 22-005, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-010-0345, sub 8, sub C, plural names for operating with a plural firm name while having only one licensee in employment of the firm longer than 180 days.
I'll second it.
Sir, any further discussion? For a vote of sufficient evidence in case number 22-005, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
In agency case 22-006, I will make a motion to find sufficient evidence of a violation under OAR 801-010-0130, sub 1, lapsed licenses by practicing at an Oregon firm with a lapsed Oregon CPA license.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? In favor of sufficient evidence in case number 22-006, for operating with a lapse license, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is carried.
In the same case, 22-006, while it's not in the voting matrix, I will add, I'll make one more motion to find sufficient evidence of multiple violations of 801-030-0020-sub-8-sub-B board communications for not timely responding to the board request.
I'll second it.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, in the case of 22006, for a vote of sufficient evidence for failure to respond to communications, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed. On item 8C, there were no issues with compliance with settlement agreements brought forward at this time.
Can you add that additional agenda item that we need to add?
Yes, but that's on a different line item. Okay, so moving on. Agenda item number 9, consideration of settlement proposals. Is there...
The first settlement proposal listed is investigation 21003. That involved not providing client records timely and not responding to forward communications. We arrived at a settlement of $3,000 in penalties, $1,000 in costs, stayed $1,500 in penalties, and $1,000 in costs for a net due of $1,500.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the settlement proposal in case 21-003.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Those in favor of accepting the settlement agreement in case 21-003, state aye.
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 Okay. Those opposed? Motion is passed.
The next one is investigation 21023, involved performing a test prior to registration. We arrived at 2,000 in penalties, 1,000 in costs, saved 1,500 in penalties, and 1,000 in costs for an due of 500.
I'll make a motion to accept the settlement proposal in case 21-023.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote to accept the settlement proposal as presented for case number 21-023, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is carried.
The final one, 21024, performing a test prior to registration, 2,000 penalties, 1,000 in costs, state 1,500 penalties, and 1,000 in costs, that due 500.
I'll make a motion to accept the settlement proposal in case 21-024.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote to accept the settlement proposal as presented in case number 21-024, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, that brings us to agenda item 10, new business. The first one is a report from NASBA Western Regional Conference. Martin?
So very briefly, folks, both board member Jason Robinson and I were able to attend the NASPA West End Regional Conference. This was one of the first ones that they were able to reconvene again in person. So it had a little bit of a kind of a, for everyone, not just me, kind of a little bit of a reunion atmosphere, and a certain level of excitement, there. My own focus was particularly on items I will discuss also a little bit later in my report, in preparation for the September board meeting, really trying to figure out, given all the changes at the board office, particularly all the staffing changes that are very significant at this point, what role, if any, NASBA could play short-term or longer-term. And so I spent, to help us out on processing either, again, short-term or longer-term, and I, you know, look forward to bringing some of my research and potential options to the board there in September. We'll talk more about the September board meeting as we go along. That was one of my my focuses there. That's, you know, that was really helpful to kind of get that process going. Substantively, I would probably focus on two items. One that I don't think will surprise anyone here in the audience is that there was still a, and there's an ongoing heavy focus on the problems in the CPA pipelines. So there were a lot of discussions around that, and that's also very much on my radar because that issue also came up in the interview process that I was.
Oh, did we just say this? We just said.
Yep.
So.
Whatever I said was not good.
It's you, Martin. To executive director. That's just an informational. It's not a vote.
I do think it's a vote.
It is a vote.
I do think it's a vote.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Are you on caps lock by any chance?
Meeting passcode is the lowercase n. C-S, 3, uppercase T.
Is it coming back as incorrect, or is it just...
It's giving me the option to leave, but...
Maybe we need to leave and go all the way back in?
What technology?
And then you just have to decide whether to admit us.
Okay.
I'll be back.
You're there.
Okay, can you hear us okay? Okay. All right, Martin, back to you.
So, I apologize for whatever I said. Apparently, technology not to disconnect us, but I think that was I was talking about substantively. There was a lot of discussion around the concerns about the CPA pipeline and ways for the societies and boards to work together and NASBA to work together. I do intend to sink my teeth into that pretty deep as well. I appreciate just in the last week or two, Sherry agreeing to a sit-down from OSCPA, agreeing to a sit-down conversation to help me understand the OSCPA's work on that issue better in the run-up to the September board meeting, and I look forward to the partnerships there. The other piece that was really more Oregon-specific is we also got a, and by we, I don't mean just me, it was also true for Jason, and Jason really was the one who kind of responded to this mostly, is there was certainly a lot of desire expressed by NASBA for a greater degree of engagement by this board with NASBA activities. I think there was an email that I think Jason sent to you, Nancy, with his intent to sign up for committees. For those of you that are familiar with, not familiar with NASBA processes, essentially they have their own little selection process going on where they essentially you can pick up to three committees and voice your preferences, and then they figure out like who they want to put. But really, the most important takeaway was we've had Oregon participation in NASBA really heavily focused on kind of a single, if you will, gentleman, and probably the more appropriate term would be giant in the accounting profession. That's Ray Johnson, who's, you know, worn just about every hat, I think, in the profession that you can imagine, from former board chair to OSCPA, I believe, chair as well, to senior roles in NASBA, to and decade-long career leadership in higher education in the accountancy program at PSU. He is, starting to really relinquish a lot of those roles. And there's definitely worry by NASBA that there's not a lot of stuff that they see right now that's coming up in the pipeline behind Ray. So there was definitely a kind of an invitation from NASBA saying, hey, we would love to have more engagement. So we can talk about that more as we go along, but that's certainly a little bit of a nudge that I wanted to pass on. And that's, don't want to speak on behalf of Jason, but since he's not here today, wanted to at least throw that in because he certainly tried to take a step in the direction and sign up for a couple of committees. And throw that out there. I think I'll probably leave it at that with respect to the report from NASBA, beyond extending my thanks to the chair for allowing me to go in the midst of what was a pretty hectic process of joining in the midst of all this, the staffing changes, but it was ultimately, I think, a good call and time well spent.
And item 10B, the NASBA request to extend the uniform CPA examination credits.
Yes.
Mark, you want to make a comment there?
Just very briefly, so you have that all in your materials. This is all related to the, to the new CPA exam, the CPA evolution. And this is essentially something that came out from NASBA just before the regional meetings to all jurisdiction. It's a very, from my perspective, it's a very standard request that comes out pretty much any time there is a major change in the CPA examination, which is essentially a request, and they're really hoping that all jurisdictions will essentially agree to this, is to essentially allow for an extension of any credits that are on the record. And I want to make sure that the date's right, you have it in your materials. But basically the ask is any candidate with uniform CPA examination credits on January 1, 2024, will have such credits extended to June 30th, 2025. So they just kicked off this process where they are asking all jurisdictions to agree to this as part of essentially a uniform response by the jurisdictions to respond to, quite frankly, the normal stressors that are there when you have a major change in the CPA exam. So I have no problems recommending this. This is very, very standard fair when examination changes occur for us to react this way.
Where do you know if it affects the enrollment if we need to do any rule changes?
I do not believe that we need to do any rule changes, but I can certainly double check that one more time, but I don't believe so.
Any other questions for Martin on the NASPA items? Okay, that brings us to our next item, which is well certificates. So one of the things that we had discussed in a previous meeting was that the quality of the CPA certificate has not been the same standard as what we've had in the past. And so I've asked board staff to put together some examples of what other licensing entities are doing, and wanted to get some feedback from the board staff. I've previously given some direction to Martin on research to do, but you know, we've gone to a purely just put it in the printer and hit print, and we lost our gold seal and the calligraphy, and it's really just taken this whole wall certificate down in value. And in fact, it came to my attention when one of my staff who's been licensed received their certificate. They were just greatly disappointed in how generic the certificate looked like. So Martin, we've got some examples. We'll try and get it close to the camera so folks can see it. But you know, basically what we have right now. So let me just see if I can put this. Is this the camera? Okay, so basically what we have right now, bear with me, okay, is just this computer-generated certificate. Everyone get kind of the basic, I mean, it feels like it's a little blurry there, but can you see that okay? I'm seeing some nods, yes and no. What we used to have, for example, and this is just part of it, but what we used to have is that it was on more parchment paper. Okay, and we have the Board of Accountancy's gold seal here, and the names were done by a calligrapher. Okay, some other, this is Board of Tax Examiners, so again, they've got their own seal down here, a little bit of color to it. This is the Board of Architects, again, the gold seal. They've got some gold print embossment around this certification. Okay. State Board of Geologists Examiners, so a little bit smaller certificate, but then again, a gold seal down in the bottom. Okay. And I think those were the examples that we had had. So I just wanted to open up for discussion. That, you know, just it feels like the decision on our wall certificates were made without any discussion before the board. And I just want to put back on the table reverting back to wall certificates that have the gold seal and even the names written in calligraphy so that it is more of a professional document. So I want to open that up to the board for discussion and comment. Stu, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I think you've denuded it down to a coupon. And I don't know, when did this change? When did this become this way?
Under the previous executive director.
Was that an economic reason for doing it?
At the time, they had stated that they were having difficulty with the calligrapher. The calligrapher had some personal medical challenges to deal with, but my understanding is that the calligrapher is available and open to doing the calligraphy on the certificates. In addition, I shared with Martin this morning that at one of our nearby universities, they actually offer classes in calligraphy, and there's actually a whole group of calligraphers. It's a club, and we could actually engage with that group so that you have actually a group of people versus just one person, so that if one person is on vacation, it doesn't stop the process. And so Martin is going to do a little research and reach out to that group and see what their availability and interest is. So we would have multiple options for the calligraphy of the name and the certificate number.
So is cost a factor in this?
It is certainly more expensive to have it have calligraphy and have the gold seal. And I think, if I remember right, and we have...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, we're back.
There we are. We're back somehow.
Okay.
Not quite sure what's happening there. So I believe, if I remember right, when this was originally presented, it was presented in when we were discussing the budget itself, and the savings was $1,600.
A year?
Yes.
So insignificant compared to...
In my opinion, it's insignificant. In my opinion, the wall certificate is really important as a CPA after you've worked this hard to get something that looks like you can print it off of any printer anywhere. Just really diminishes the importance of it, and you know, and we've received complaints on the new wall certificate. So. Joe.
I wasn't aware that we had received complaints on it. I think if I'm being honest, I'm probably less sentimental than some. I don't hang it on my wall. It doesn't matter that much to me, but certainly don't want to discount the importance of it for others. So I'd be fine with going back to using real calligraphers to do the certificates.
And how do you feel about the gold seal?
It sounds like that's a step up.
Yeah, okay. Raul?
Sorry.
Yeah, whatever it takes within our budget to get it back, to make it look more impressive. That's where I can go. So back to the gold seal, delivery, whatever it takes.
Angie, is this something that we need to vote on, or is this can just be direction given to our executive director?
Yeah, it needs to be direction.
Okay, great. All right, that is done. Okay, the next item up is delegation of authority to the executive director. So if you remember when we changed executive directors and we had an interim, we had to go through a process of voting to give delegation of authority to that executive director. Now that Martin is on board as our permanent executive director, we do, again, have to vote on that delegation of authority to the executive director. Andrew, is there anything that you
want to
add here for us?
No, it is a vote to approve, and then the only thing I need, but to approve the document as drafted is fine.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the document as drafted.
Let's do a second it.
Is there further discussion? All in favor of approving the delegation of authority to executive director, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried. Okay, on item 10E. So in the matter, the board received a request from Mr. Bailey to be allowed to work in a firm with an inactive license. However, board rules do not allow for an inactive licensee to work for a firm. The board is going to refer the issue of whether or not the rule should be amended to the Laws and Rules Committee for review. So regarding Mr. Bailey's request, is there a motion?
Nancy, I'll move to deny Mr. Bailey's request to work for a firm with an inactive license.
I'll second it.
Okay. Further discussion, the decision to deny is based on currently that would be a violation and against our current policy. So any further discussion? For a vote in favor of denying Mr. Bailey's request, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried. Okay, in the matter of the board has received a request from Carrie Burns regarding an extension of time to allow her to obtain her experience hours that are necessary to obtain licensing. Mrs. Burns has had significant health issues and provided information in support of her request. Is there a motion on Mrs. Burns' request?
I'll I'll move to approve Ms. Burns' request to allow her until December 31st, 2022 to obtain her experience hours.
I'll second it.
Further discussion? I'm just noting that this is an extension of only 4 months.
Madam Chair, if I may, I wanted to also, quite frankly, apologize for sending out that level of detail to the public. There's some pretty detailed medical information in there.
Okay.
I would not have done that. It, quite frankly, we got caught up in our normal process. I would have not done that and provided more of a high-level summary rather than get the specific physician and conditions information into a public packet and disseminate it out to the public mailing list. So that was an oversight on my end. That will not happen again, and my apologies to Ms. Burns.
Any further comment? For a vote of in favor to approve Ms. Burns' request for an extension through December 31st, 2022 to obtain her experience hours, state aye.
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 Okay.
Those opposed? Motion has carried.
And Chair Nancy?
Yes.
Chair, I would be happy to shred that and also remove that from our records, as well as I know John wouldn't have a problem with that either.
Great, thank you.
And
I'd like us to pull it down from the...
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we are adding one item. The board received correspondence from Kramer and Associates regarding the firm not being in compliance with the plural firm name rules. Back in 2013, the firm received inaccurate information from a board staff member via email that implied that the firm would be in compliance with only two licensees. Is there a motion on this matter?
I move to allow Kramer & Associates 180 days from today, June 23rd, 2022, to get into compliance with the board's rules regarding plural firm names.
I'll second it.
So further discussion? Those in favor of granting an extension to Kramer & Associates of 180 days from today, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried. Okay, that brings us to item number 11, which is the report of the chair. So a couple things here. First of all, it's great to have Martin back with us. I have already received numerous communications from external parties on the improvement that they're already experiencing with Martin in the driver's seat. Reports of improved communication, openness, and just a feeling of inclusion, and that we are headed finally in the right direction that we needed to be going. We are working on our public member replacement. As you know, Deanna was selected for a role that prohibits her from acting as a board member, so she had to step off of being a board member quite suddenly. And while we're very excited for Deanna, we are in search of a public member. So if you know of someone who would make a good public member, you can let Martin know. We are also working on the requirements for that selection and making sure that we are in compliance with the direction from the governor's office. So next is that our next board meeting, which will be September 29th, that may end up being like a day and a half. Martin and I are still working out the agenda, so I just want to let the board members know to tentatively set aside 2 days for that. If we can get it into one, we will, but we may need a day and a half. That's going to be a rolling up our sleeves and having a little bit more of work sessions during our September board meeting. We are also considering some alternative site. We've talked about potentially maybe even meeting up in Portland at a university. We don't have specifics on that yet. It's still to be determined, but just to kind of mix it up a little bit, just wanted to put you on notice that we're considering a site alternative as well as a date and a half. And that completes my report. Is there any questions?
Did you have a preference for that meeting to be in person?
I do, yes. So because we're going to have a real roll-up-your-sleeves work session in September, it would be preferred that everybody be in person. And so Martin will be reaching out to each of the board members on location and time. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the report of the vice chair.
No report this time.
Great, okay. And the report of the treasurer, that is normally given by Jason, who is out today. And so Martin is just going to very briefly give us a couple comments on our fiscal 23 projections.
And so, folks, I'm not going to go into detail. You have the summary in the packets. You know, there's nothing that's really fundamentally changed here. We are in a healthy fiscal position. I think the most important part for you to notice is that this actually, the timing of this board meeting and this report isn't terribly awesome, because a lot of the really critical data and the year-end data isn't reflected in here. So my focus really has been internally working with DAS and the fiscal team there to make sure that the June close, what they call in state budget language the month 13 close, is completed and available to us by mid-September, no later than the September 25, so that we can bring to the board a much more comprehensive report on how we ended the fiscal year, and hopefully at that point we will also have July data, because particularly when it comes to assessing how we did in the renewal season, June data alone is not enough. We will need to capture the July data as well. And so my focus really has been on making sure that something really solid can reach you, hopefully then also with Jason back in this Jason back in that role. The only other comments that I want to just make that surprised me a little bit as I was digging kind of into what for us is actually right now a little bit of a more active than normal season underneath all of this financially, because of all the changes at the board office that are ultimately going to impact us and impact our projections, particularly on the personnel side. There is one issue that I would have expected to hit the board's radar probably as part of the June financial reporting that will not materialize. And I do think it's at least worth mentioning something, particularly when it's not obvious from the numbers, in terms of something that actually does impact the board's fiscal position. This is a little bit of an impact of kind of how much the labor market has changed, and a little bit of inside baseball of how state government works. So when you have state employees that leave to another state agency, there are very specific rules in place that are not state agency specific, but they are essentially, there's a whole governance framework there in terms of how accrued leave time is handled for those state employees. And essentially, the kind of bottom line here is, you can, if you go as an employee from one state agency to the next, the receiving agency under DAS rules must accept up to 100 hours of accrued vacation leave. However, the employee can request more. And in the old days, when I was here previously, that was pretty rare that agencies would be willing to agree to take on, you know, a huge amount of leave balances, because essentially they then become liable for ultimately paying that out in some way, shape, or form. That has changed pretty dramatically, and this is actually going to impact us in ways that I would have not normally anticipated, because a lot of the employees that have left, that have transferred over to other state agencies, essentially took the liability over with them to the new agency. So I would have expected to see us with pretty significant hits, in particularly in the month of June. And the fact that that will not happen is not a, you know, it's not a small deal actually financially, because there are hundreds upon hundreds of hours of accrued leave time that essentially have become responsibility of another state agency. So I just wanted to kind of make sure that the board is at least aware of that, because normally you have you know, yeah, personnel savings because you have vacancies, but you also have to do these payouts. But these payouts right now are much smaller than normal. And the only exception to that was, partial exception to that was Julie Nadeau, who left us a few weeks ago, and where the only piece that we absolutely had to do on the BOA side was comp time, that had a group that you cannot take to another state agency, but that's different from vacation time. So it's one of those little details that impacts us, but it's not anything you would ever obviously find by looking through a report. Even if you had all the detail, it would kind of be lost in that equation. I did want to just kind of point that out. I'm not necessarily celebrating this, it's just unusual. And it's kind of a little bit weird because I kind of always assumed that it's our liability, so it's our responsibility to take care of it, but that's quite frankly not the way things work right now. That's the only other thing I will say on the financial piece, and leave it at that, and hopefully we'll get to a much more detailed report in September.
All right, so let's go ahead and head into item number 14, the report of the executive director. Martin, I'm just going to let you walk us through each one of these without having to call them out individually. I'll let you do that.
Okay, yes, and I appreciate you letting me do that, and I just also want to really kind of start off by, you know, there has been a sea change of, lots of changes. There's no shortage of change here. We now have, you know, a board office where literally, as of yesterday, we know that every single position, original position, other than Jeremiah's, either has turned over, and then, you know, I can hope that I can say that publicly by now as well, Joel, is that we just found out yesterday that Joel will be leaving us in on August 15 as well, with a wonderful promotion to another state agency. So good for you, Joel.
Yeah, congratulations.
But it does mean, you know, that we have this huge rebuild that's going on, and one of the things I want to actually touch on first before I get into all of this is, you know, you already mentioned, Nancy, that there's all these items on here. And this is not coincidental. It's not just a little crutch for my aging brain that I don't forget to talk about these things, but it is, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback around folks being surprised sometimes about not knowing that the board was going to talk about a certain issue or feeling kind of like this element of surprise. So I very deliberately tried to lay out in more detail what all the topics are that I intend to bring up under the report so that the outside community ahead of time would have some idea of what the topics are that I intend to discuss rather than just leave it under executive director report. And so I intend to continue that practice. So I started in with 14A already. You know, I had a very brief opportunity to still work with Julie, and then Julie left us for the construction contractors board. We had Leah leaving us for actually Jason, the same entity that gave us our beloved former interim executive director, Jason Barbie. So it's definitely short term, a pretty interesting time because my focus obviously is on short term, how do we get through this, particularly with renewal season. I want to just give you a couple of assurances in terms of what we've done short-term to kind of make sure that we survive at the very basic level of keeping the doors open. One is, and I really have to start with that first, is I owe a huge gratitude of thanks to Jeremiah and to Joel, where in essence, you know, I had no choice but to ask our compliance staff to retrain in licensing functions. And so when you look at, you know, Jeremiah and Joel today, you will be forgiven to think of them as 10% compliance and 90% licensing. Because that's pretty close to the reality of where we are and where we're going to need to be in the interim. So part of this is about them stepping up and being really flexible, which has been a huge welcome help. The other piece is we have a wonderful longer-term temp that I cannot take credit for. Pamela Cooper, she goes by Mella, and she has, you know, certainly stepped up and given us a front desk
presence and ability to do some of our more basic processing tasks, and she has been phenomenal. And we're trying to hang on to her for as long as possible to help keep our doors open. We also have had something else I cannot quite take credit for, because the process thankfully was started by the interim predecessor, Jason Barbie, who started what they call a job rotation recruitment. So it's not a permanent recruitment, but essentially a recruitment for another state employee to come over for a period of time, which is essentially a way of getting somebody who's a little bit more seasoned and a little bit of a more expeditious process. Essentially, that process has just reached the stage where I could review candidates when I came on May 16, which was my first day, in the office. And we were able to find a really terrific individual named Lori Kramer, who is coming to us from a very, very seasoned career in both the private sector and the public sector. She's been working over at Oregon State Hospital for the last, I think, 5 or 6 years. And she is an absolutely wonderful addition to the office and very bright and catching on fast. So I'm hoping that we will at least have her for a year, or potentially she may end up applying for some of our more permanent openings. But we are getting help in, and we have some of the basics there in place to help us survive. And then finally, you know, the blessing of building relationships quickly. I had an intro meeting with a person from DAS IT that I wasn't even sure that I should prioritize. And it ended up, you know, this was a more of a high-level introduction meeting with somebody pretty high up in the DAS IT structure, overseeing kind of the services and our potential plans to improve our database. I took the meeting anyway, and lo and behold, it turned out this individual had spent most of her career at the Department of Revenue. And when I explained to her what was going on and why, you know, we certainly were not in a place at the board with all this turnover to tackle significant IT projects right now, she ended up opening the store, connecting me with DOR staff that was working on oversee a seasonal data entry pool that DOR brings in for tax season. And so we worked together very quickly, and with DAS HR help and connecting with the HR folks over at the Department of Revenue that support that unit, they allowed us access to that seasonal pool. And that gave us another individual, Terry Stucker, who's in our office already, basically in record time. It basically took us 1 week, but normally recruitments take months. It took us about a week to get somebody in from that list that is helping us during, you know, on a temporary basis to help us with data entry where we have significant needs in renewal season. So we've been really blessed, quite frankly, with partners stepping up. So please don't think of this as Martin is fixing it. It's really, usually when folks say Martin's fixing it, it's really code for Martin's really good at begging and others are stepping up to help us fix it. Right, and this is another one of those. Examples where, you know, I there was no obligation by the Department of Revenue to help us, and they really stepped up and did that, which is pretty awesome. So short term, we have, I think, the basics in place to survive through the renewal season, and then of course comes the medium to long term. How do we rebuild? And I want to be really clear with the board, the most important takeaway I have for you on this issue is the connection between the medium to long term rebuild and what we need to do at the September meeting. Because there's both operational issues, but there's also policy issues. And it's going to be really critical for me to understand where the board wants to take the licensing function. And there's both policy issues there, as well as potentially, is the board willing to say, are there certain of these processing items that we've done in-house that we want to follow the lead of some of, quite frankly, in some cases, the vast majority of our jurisdictions around us, and say, should we have, for example, NASBA take on the processing on the exam side
of initial licensure, which 33 jurisdictions have already done. Not the time to discuss that today. I'm saying this is all part of what we need to work through as a board, where I need to get direction, how far the board wants me to go down, so that I don't end up rehiring people in exactly the same way as we have before, if that's not where the board actually wants to go down the road. So there is actually, and I'm the eternal optimist, I apologize for that ahead of time, right? But as stressful as the short term is, this is literally, you know, think of yourselves for a moment, not as accountants, but as artists, right? This is literally the equivalent of the blank canvas and an opportunity to really, you know, paint a new picture of where you want this to go and where you want this to be. And so as much as I'm trying to focus on the short term and making sure we keep our doors open, I'm just as excited and committed to making sure that you get a set of choices in September as to how you want the future to look like so that I can execute that. My commitment to the board is that I will not do anything between now and September that constrains your choices. That's my commitment. And then second, really is that I will make absolutely sure that I will work as hard as possible to make sure that you are well prepared at that board meeting to know what are these options, what do they mean, what are the, you know, and as with any options, there's pluses and minuses with any option, that you get as good of information as you deserve for those options. So that's really kind of where I'm at in terms of the short term and the medium and long term, kind of rebuilding us. Within all that, you already probably heard the first hints of 14B, and don't worry, not all the items will be this long, so I will wrap up much quicker. On the higher education side, you know, I picked up very early on that there were some pretty significant concerns in the higher education community. So I, notwithstanding all the pressure in the board office, I did make it a huge priority and sat down with, first with Elizabeth Ulmer over at Portland State, and it was a really, really solid, in-depth two-hour meeting, and I, you know, thank her for that grace. That helped me understand what all the issues are, where the higher ed community has had concerns. I have also, you know, continued some of those discussions and gotten some insights from that from Ray Johnson, who I mentioned previously while we were at NASA. That was an opportunity to catch up with Ray. So I just want to assure the board on that front is I'm doing what I can. I've reached out to other members of higher ed. I have a meeting, I think, with the Willamette University folks in July sometime, because they also have an item, an outstanding item, that was initiated before my time, so I'm going to have to sit down with them. Bottom line is just be assured I'm trying to work it as fast as I can to really do some listening and understanding as to what those concerns are and what the potential options are to fix them. And you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. There's really two buckets here, and to me they're very distinct, because one is really at the level of control of the board, ultimately, and the other one falls a lot more on my plate. The first bucket, the board bucket, really is what are the policy and or potential rule issues that the board may want to tackle that are part of that concern, where there are actually things in our statutes and rules that the board may want to update, right? That I can't control. That is ultimately, I can help with that process, but that's going to be up to the board. The part that I can control is I'm starting to get the impression, as I'm learning from that community, that a not insignificant number of the issues that have been brought to my attention really may not have been as much about what's actually in our statutes and rules, but how we apply them at the staff level. And that's a very different bucket. And that's a bucket that I can control a lot more directly on the director side. So that's essentially my commitment, that number one, I get the difference between the two buckets. And number two, as we rebuild, that, you know, I pay I will pay very solid attention to essentially making sure that at minimum that I understand what the concerns are about some of the ways in which our rules have been applied, and take that into consideration. So that's the higher education piece. The other one that's a little bit more meaty, that surprised me a little bit, was there's actually a effort underway. I've spent some quality time with a really wonderful lady named Amy John. Some of you may know her by formerly Amy Dale, and of the Secretary of State's office. And what I'll simply say here is this, because I want to be circumspect about the fact that there is a statutory change proposal underway that's being crafted in that office. I'm not here to communicate on behalf of that office. The reason I'm bringing it up here is because it looked like their goal potentially would have included a proposal to also amend our statutes with respect to some of the municipal audit-related language. In essence, what I ended up working out with them, working with the chair and council and Amy, is that at this point they're walking down the road of a legislative concept that in its current form, and I say that three times underlined, in its current form would not open up the board's statutes. So out of respect, I don't want to discuss the details of what all they might propose, because they still have to go through their agency internal process and things may change in terms of what all they want to throw out there. But right now, the running kind of, if you will, individual gentlemen's agreement that we have with the Secretary of State's office is that they will not do anything in their effort that would directly open up the board statutes. And that will help us out a great deal, because that, significantly reduces our work ahead of legislative session. It is my understanding, I'll only say that at a very high level, is that there is apparently one particular fee in that statute where their intent is to take a specific fee that we're implementing out of the statute and replace that with language that essentially simply refers back over to our, to our rulemaking authority around fees, but takes a specific fee amount on the municipal audit piece out of that statute. So the way they're doing that, again, would not open up our statutes, but I wanted to at least give you a heads up that there are pretty significant contacts that we're doing on an ongoing basis through Amy and with Amy's help. She's been really nice to work with, very transparent, kind of staying in touch as their proposal develops, because things can still change, so please don't take this as written in concrete, because they have to, that agency is run by an elected official, right? There's a review process there, there's lawyers that are going to weigh in on statutory language, there's all kinds of things that can still happen, but for now, my best summary here is that whatever comes out of that process is currently not directly aiming at us. And that's kind of the bottom line on the Secretary of State. The chair already covered the board vacancy piece, so I will not go into that again here. The only thing, very small logistical detail I would like to add, is I wanted to briefly emphasize, the call that the chair made for, hey, please, if you have a public member, a good public member, come to Martin and let Martin know, right? I actually have a pretty significant timeline pressure on this, because I'm supposed to have essentially candidates ready to review with the governor's office by July 15th, which is only 3 weeks down the road, which means that not only would I have to find those candidates, but they would have to be willing to actually put in an application, which I now actually understand to be in this work day application, that they have to go through to actually formally apply. So I wanted to just add that logistical detail. So if you do have somebody in mind that you know, we should consider, that I should reach out to. Please do it as quickly as you can, because I'm operating on a pretty significant time clock. And then the other item is actually a little bit embarrassing. 14E, that's my last item, so we're almost to the end. This is actually an item that was on the agenda before I got here. And I actually know almost nothing about it. In fact, this whole issue of workday is something I'm still in a learning environment on, because I left the state of Oregon before workday was implemented. And I'm, you know, now grasping that not only am I still in my own little training element of what all I need to learn about workday to make my executive director job happen, I have only, you know, essentially in the last couple of weeks started to understand that workday is also directly relevant for board members, that you have to put in your applications through workday, and apparently there is an annual training that you guys are all supposed to complete in workday. So there's a reminder in there. Please don't ask me how to find that training. I hope you all know what a workday account is. What I will offer to you, is that if any of you have trouble with that, then, you know, I'm learning workday, and one of the best ways, you know, I come out of a very academic background on my father's side of the family, and I've always learned that the best way for you to learn is to be a teacher. So if you put me under pressure and ask me to teach you workday, then I might have to get around to actually learning workday so that I can teach it. So if you need help, reach out to me and we'll figure out the workday thing. But I do have an obligation to at least publicly report out that there's apparently an annual training that is eagerly waiting for your attention in workday. That's all I know about that topic, and I'm happy to answer questions offline or here if you have any.
Martin, do you know, is there a deadline for that one that we need to get done? I think it's by December 31st is actually what I think it is, because I think I just completed last year's.
If so, that would be amazing, because it means that they're way ahead of the curve of asking us to complete a training that's not true until December 31st, but I don't actually know.
Okay, is that something that you could just follow up then?
Yeah, I will follow up on an email.
Send out a communication through Angie or something to the board members so we know what that due date is.
Yes, I will do that. And Madam Chair, that concludes my report.
Okay, great. Thank you, Martin. And I just, you know, really want to acknowledge the efforts that Martin has put in since coming on as our executive director. I have received multiple communications from external parties stating how much better the communication is and the outreach is, and we should all feel, you know, really confident that the relationships that have been damaged are going to be repaired. So I'm pretty excited to see the turning of that page. Next item is old business, and we don't have anything listed under there, but I'll just pause for a moment and see if anybody had anything under old business that needed to be discussed. Okay, hearing none. Item 16, the complaints committee from the BOAC. This is informational only. Tanya, I don't know if you wanted to make a couple comments, but I'll just pause for a minute here.
No, we just really appreciate having the ability to come back to the board with our recommendations and having that open line of communication.
Great, thank you, Tanya. Let's move on to item 17, the qualifications committee. As we mentioned earlier, first thing this morning, we were going to remove any public comment that wanted to be stated regarding the qualifications committee to be heard at this time. And so I just want to open it up here to see if there was any public comment regarding, you know, the QC memo. So I'll just pause here.
You're talking about 17B.
Yeah, 17B, the QC memo. Sherry?
Yes, I'll keep my comments very, very brief, but as the board is aware, I've expressed concern previously about the number of comments that we've received about the Oregon process of the write-up and how that appears to be very unique compared to other jurisdictions nationally. I would just kind of make a comment that it was we wouldn't quite describe it as a loophole in the process, but more just and I look forward to, I would not expect something like this to end up in the board packet without the board, looking at it. So I just presume that there's future consideration that will be looked at with all of this. And I know we talked about digging through national research on things too. So again, I'm just cheering. It doesn't feel a loophole to me. It feels that at least on the surface of down deeper, it feels that it's a process and a pathway that licensees are moving towards Washington because there are, less, I wouldn't say it's a dumbing down, use that close, but rather, or a loophole, but it's rather that our process puts in place requirements that are not necessarily required by other jurisdictions. So thank you for just the opportunity to express a little bit more concern about it. I bring it up, here today only because I continue to get numerous comments from partners and from firms about, how difficult this is. And at the end of the day, it's really about pipeline in Oregon and public protection. We need enough CPAs, to be able to be, covering things properly. So anyway, we all have challenges with pipeline already just because of, generational demographics and, baby boomer retirements, et cetera. So thank you for that. And again, I do expect that the board would be, of course, looking at that. So I thank you for that.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. And
yes.
Jason Robinson, who board member who's out today, would have provided us a meeting summary. So we're going to defer that to our September meeting and have a further discussion here, because one of the things that Martin and I have been discussing is really things like, what is the charge of the qualifications committee and how are we addressing, licensees from other states and coming back into Oregon. So this will be revisited in September. Peer review. Any updates on peer review? I think that'll be deferred to September as well. That brings us to item number 19, the ratification request. Motions on the floor.
I make a motion to ratify CPA certificates and permits.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion? Those in favor of ratifying the CPA certificates and permits, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is passed.
I'll make a motion to ratify firm registrations.
I'll second the motion.
Any discussion? Those in favor of ratifying the firm registrations as presented, state aye.
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 Motion is passed.
I'll make a motion to ratify industry certificates and permits.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? For a vote to ratify the industry certificates and permits, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has carried.
We'll make a motion to ratify, ratify the admission to the municipal roster,
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Those in favor of ratifying the admissions to the municipal roster, state aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion has passed. All right, that brings us to our last item, which is any final announcements. Before we adjourn, does anybody have anything else that we need to put on the table here today before we adjourn the meeting? Okay, well, with that, I call the Board of Accountancy's public meeting to adjournment. Our next meeting is September 29th, 2022. For those board members, more to come on. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.